Before we pray together, I will read a word from the book of Acts that we all already know. Acts 22, from verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, and also the high priest does bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus, to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem, for to be punished. And it came to pass, that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass, that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles.
Er antwortete mir: Mache dich auf den Weg, denn ich will dich in die Ferne zu den Heiden senden.
Bis hierhin dieses Up to here, this precious word. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you together in this hour. Lord, for the privilege that we can and may be here. O God, you see our hearts. You know our desires. You know, O God, what we are looking for. From you alone, Lord, comes our help. We look to you and ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, bless us, bless your people, bless your word, bless all, O God, who look up to you, who pray to you, O God. Help us and have mercy on us, Lord. Touch the lips and the mouth through which you will speak, O God. Give grace to praise your name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here. You realize that my voice is not yet good again, but my mood is better. I would rather have a good mood than a bad voice. But anyway, we are still thankful to God for the weekend. You can imagine being here yourself and saying things that you hadn't seen, known, or explained before. And when you then see God's faithfulness in everything, you appreciate His grace. On Monday evening, we were together as brothers and tried to recognize the will of God and asked ourselves how we can come closer to God, how the meetings can be shaped so that God comes fully into His own. As you know, the powerful in the sermons or services of Paul and Peter and Philip and Brother Branham was not the long or short speech, not just the exposition of the divine mysteries, but the fruit of God that came forth from the Word and through the Spirit. And that has become our concern. And after a special experience last night, which lasted well into the night, I had to say to the Lord today, when the men from America came and asked, where is the revival in Wales? Do you remember? And they asked, if I remember correctly, a Bobby, a policeman, right? And they were expecting directions. There, take the train so-and-so, and the bus, and then change again, and then again like that, and then you will get there eventually. And this man says, I am the revival of Wales. And I told the Lord all this, and asked Him to make me and us, yes, if I say now, to a restoration, to what it's all about today, then that's not too much to ask. With God, word and experience and deed always coincide. Why should God's deeds and God's words not correspond in these days? Every time in a particular revival, people have received from God what was preached to them. And we have seen that very clearly. People have rarely experienced and received more than was preached. But in the time of justification, they believed and took what was preached home with them. They were the justified ones by grace. For them, it was not just a sermon that was suddenly preached, but a word that penetrated them. The Spirit brought it to life, and they were the result of this proclamation. It was the same in the days of the sanctification movement, the same in the days of the Pentecostal movement. And let us all be honest. People came from far and wide. They heard the word of God, and they received. It was almost a divine must. It belonged together. Proclamation and fulfillment belong together with God. If there is a distance of miles, or to put it in our terms, a distance of years, then one day we'll fall into despair, and we must come to the point where we are a living testimony of what God has promised and revealed for this time. And if we look at it correctly, then we have understood the message so well that the path of the church is through justification, through sanctification, through the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then into perfection, in order to be led as a bride to meet the bridegroom. And we must all take this to heart with all seriousness. There is no one who can get around it. And if it grips us so much, could seize us so deeply, that we just cannot help but say, Lord, here we are. Your word has never returned void. Should it be different today? Have you changed? Where is it missing? What is the reason? God has done everything. And we would almost have to say, if everyone else should have or has had trouble, then it is certainly not quite the same with us. For when has there been a time since the days of the Lord and the early church when God has confirmed Himself as the living and true One in such a way as in our day? We can see the photos of the pillar of fire. We can see the picture of the cloud, all supernatural confirmations that God has sent His servant, commissioned His prophet to bring the last message. After all, miracles and signs have happened in heaven and on earth. There is no excuse. And that brings us into great distress inside. Not in despair, but in a longing for God to confirm what He has said in His Word, that we could all be a living testimony of God's work in these days, that the divine word could be followed by the divine deed, the experience with God. And if we all come to the point where we say, Lord, we are not leaving here unless You have blessed us. We sang in the song of Jacob that we see the ladder to heaven, and the Lord said it in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, you shall see greater things than these. Ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending. We have the greatest promises of all time. Everything has been summarized and served up for us. The Lord has prepared a rich table for us in the presence of our enemies. And we are thankful for every word, for every teaching, for every blessing, for every experience we have already had. On the other hand, time is pressing, and we are under the impression that God wants to do something with power. And the Holy Scriptures say that all the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied until John, and from then on the kingdom of God is proclaimed, and he who does violence enters by force. So God wants, and I'm firmly convinced of this, God wants the preached word. God wants to bring His message to life with everything that goes with it. He wants to confirm Himself in those who have received His word. He wants to bear witness to it. And I think, as we just heard of Saul, they are all wonderful experiences. And I told you, when I was in Damascus, and the brothers said enthusiastically, Brother Frank, if you don't want to see anything else, but the place where the Lord met Saul and appeared in the light, you absolutely have to see it. Well, I went along, but there was a completely different desire burning in my soul than to see an old street or an old archway or an old wall. That was not the desire of my heart, but to meet the Lord as Saul had met Him. And if we have listened carefully, we are told that Saul had forgotten himself to such an extent that it was not enough for him to walk around Jerusalem or Tarsus or anywhere else. Rather, he had become zealous and boasted that he is blameless according to the Jewish law, as he thought, where the law commanded him to do such things as he did. But that should not be our subject now. But if the Lord can meet such a man who is full of rage, who is upset, who has men and women bound without being a judge, without being a prosecutor, without being a policeman, without any authority, that this religious zeal gets hold of him, and the Lord should meet such a man and say, thus far and no further, from now on, thou shalt be a chosen vessel unto me. If this is possible with God, then there should be a very good and real chance for all of us to come before God with such a desire in our hearts that God could reveal Himself, that He could confirm His Word, yes, that He could bring forth reality in us and through us. We all realize that we will not reach the goal in the permissible, but only in the perfect will of God. We may not be able to judge what this perfect will of God looks like at the moment, but we can say one thing. He will guide us according to His Word, for His will has been established in His Word once and for all, and He has given His Spirit to guide us into all truth. So, the prayer that lies on my heart is that God could be glorified through us, that the biblical proclamation could bring about biblical results and biblical experiences for each individual. I believe we can still trust God completely. What prevents us from believing God completely and totally? He stands by His Word, by His people. What affects us affects Him. He says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these who believe on me, ye have done it unto me. But even what you did not do to them, you did not do to me. I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was sick, you did not visit me. And so on. We can see that He as head is connected to His body, to His members, that all of this forms a divine unity. And then we are already helped if we realize that the hand or the foot or whatever member of the body does not have to act on its own, but that the instructions come from the head, and Christ is the head, and we are His joint body. And that is what we must emphasize now. Not just coming from many peoples and tongues and nations and remaining in a diversity of views, but brought together into a divine unity under the proclamation of these last days and joined together by the Holy Spirit into this divine organism so that God can reveal Himself. God is a living God and He has no dead members in His body. If a member is dead and is no longer permeated by life, then it is more of a hindrance than a help. The Lord wants to make us living members of His body, members that belong to His body, that are permeated by His life, and that can follow the slightest hint and do what He wants to have done as the head. When we look at the earthly body, I never once say to the hand, take the glasses now, or take the Bible now. It all happens automatically without saying anything like, foot, rise now, or sit down now, but everything happens fully automatically. The head governs every function, every activity, everything is under control from above. If only we could see this transferred to the body of the Lord, and we must experience it, that we could be joined together in such divine harmony that everything could be fully automatic. After all, we live in a time when the automatic has to make way for the cumbersome manual. And why not in the spiritual too? You may say that there is a very long way to go. It could be, if we had to do it. But if we trust in God, then one single experience is enough for a soul. And from that moment on, he is a new man, a transformed man. And he was told, arise, there you will be told what to do, and be baptized, and wash away your sins by calling upon the name of the Lord. Because it is precisely this Bible verse. It is misunderstood by many because they don't read it completely. They say that the forgiveness or washing away of sins is in baptism. No, the forgiveness of sins is in the blood of the Lamb. Baptism is a confirmation that your sins are forgiven. And it is literally written, rise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins by calling on the name of the Lord. So, by calling on the name of the Lord. But that is not our topic this evening. Here, in Psalm 80, we are told, Psalm 80, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up thy strength and come and save us. Isn't that a marvelous word? God doesn't need a person who says, wait a minute, I will do it. God needs tools, vessels that can do nothing but make themselves available to Him so that He can use them. And as such vessels, we want to consecrate ourselves to the Lord and say, O God, we can't take it any longer. We have heard the greatest message of all time. We have received the most profound teaching in a way that none of the apostles and prophets have ever been taught before. Someone might think, aren't you going too far? Aren't you doing Peter and Paul no harm? No, not by a long shot. Almost 2,000 years ago, these men were also waiting for all the things that are now being fulfilled at the end of days in this prophetic age. Peter and Paul had long been with the Lord when John received the final revelation of Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos, when the mystery of the seven church age messages and the seven lampstands was revealed to him. And today, as those pardoned by God, we may look back and integrate what God spoke through Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through all the prophets and all the apostles, into the overall program of God, and thus proclaim the whole counsel of God as it must be proclaimed for this time. Noah proclaimed it as far as it applied at that time. All the others spoke piece by piece of what was to come, prophesied of the grace and of the one who would come to save us. But then, when the time was fulfilled, God summarized all of this speech from a period of a good 3,600 years and fulfilled it and made it a reality in Christ. One prophet rarely knew about another, but they all spoke by the same Spirit. Today, we may see, and not only that, but summarize what God has spoken through them all. It says here, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. There is another scripture that says, salvation comes from the Lord, and we want to experience such a divine salvation with basically everything that goes with it, without the slightest compromise. O God, restore us and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? It has always been prayed, but has God always answered? Has he always answered? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. When it comes, then it comes all at once, and then it comes from all sides, and then we have no way out but a refuge. Blessed is the man who does not seek a way out but a refuge, and finds it, if we compare the two. There is hardly a situation that has not been described in the Psalms. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. And then in verse 8, O God of hosts, restore us and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. May that be our prayer tonight. We are not here to preach, but to speak to God. Prayer requests and needs are everywhere. You would hardly think it possible, but the devil really does walk about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour whom he may. But then we look to the Lamb of God, to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, to the root of David, who overcame and who also defeated the enemy, and who was able to say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Beloved, let us take this matter seriously together and say, Lord, you have given Abraham what you promised him. You have fulfilled in Isaac what you promised him. You have confirmed your covenant in Jacob. And we could go on to list an entire register of what God has done. And if we then look at the beginning of the New Testament, in what a marvelous way the Lord not only spoke there too, but fulfilled it. John not only had a message, he had the result of the divine message. And then he says in one place about the friend of the bridegroom who hears the joy of the bride. And he says, he that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth the joy of the bride. Even then the bride of the Lamb began. Even then a people was called out to the Lord and brought to him people who were included in the redemption. There was always a result of the divine proclamation. And today, in the sermon that we are translating, Brother Branham is speaking to about 120 people, almost like in a home cell meeting. And he says, "You are the result of this message, the preaching of the Word of God." Beloved, we are not denying anyone anything, but we are just not completely satisfied divinely yet. We say, like the prophet Isaiah, "The bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it." That's how it is. You stretch out, but it's not enough. Your head sticks out at the top, your feet at the bottom. Something is not as it should be. And yet, we know that our Lord said, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." We must believe in the generosity of our God for once and take Him at His word, not with fanaticism, but with faith. That is the big difference. Not knocking chairs or being loud unnecessarily, but calling on the Lord with your whole heart, and you will see that it will come forth, because it has been sown, and this divine seed will come forth. Oh, that God could summarize everything in experiences, how He has summarized His word from all the ages and given us this teaching by grace. As Brother Branham said, both the early and the latter rain falls together in the last days. The teaching and the blessing of God that comes forth as fruit. And so we really want to trust the Lord, take Him at His word, open ourselves up and speak to Him, because He has spoken to us. And since His word has fallen into our hearts, we have the right to speak to Him not by heart, but inwardly, and to tell Him what comes into our hearts. And may it still be a promise that God gave in His word, "I will restore all things that has been lost." This sermon Brother Branham preached in August 55 in Karlsruhe from Joel, "I will restore unto you all these years." Today it is more current and closer than it was then. And that's why we'll come to the Lord in faith and call upon Him together in the conviction that He will hear and answer prayers as we have read. Even if we have become the apple of discord, even if everything negative is there, today we look to the Lord, who has spoken to us so faithfully, so graciously. And God's speaking always has only one purpose, namely to bring about faith in us, in what He has promised and spoken to us through His word. And that is what we want to do now, to come to Him in faith. Let us stand up and come forward and pray together. Have we really understood with all our hearts today that God, because He has something in mind for us, gave us the word of the divine promise to bring to life and awaken a hope in us. And this hope that comes from this does not lead to disappointment, but to fulfillment. I think that when we look at the Bible, everyone to whom God spoke realized that He only did it to give them what He had promised. And we should also accept the same in faith with God's help. No longer look to ourselves, but to the Lord, whose word cannot return void. It is impossible. It is a living word that we have received, and this word must unfold and bring forth what it has said. And no effort of our own is necessary, only to believe. What did Mary say? Be it unto me according to thy word. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let us really believe and start thanking the Lord naturally. Everything else comes by its own. The supernatural will come. You have to start thanking God naturally, and then the supernatural will come. If you don't start naturally, it won't come at all. But I hope that we have really realized this. It may be that because we have been waiting a long time, we find it difficult to make this connection. But I may say one more thing, and this is not for our sake, or rather, let me put it in a question. Has God not kept us in His clear, true and revealed word? We may have been pitied for quite some time as people who were somehow not carried along with any direction or any movement, but we only want one direction, and that must be heaven on. Only God should come into His own. We will not have waited in vain. On the contrary, God will fulfill His word in His faithfulness. Perhaps we don't even need to pray our voices hoarse, but to speak clearly to the Lord, like a friend speaking to his friend and saying, Lord, You have spoken to me. I have received Your word, and I believe that You will confirm and fulfill it. To thank Him so naturally. Yes, and everything else is left to God. Praise the Lord.